Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. And if you love the show, I know you do, who are you kidding? Be a pal and tell a friend because it's time you stop freeloading. All right, today we are chatting with Hank Tatro from the GCS Global Cleaning Services. GCS Global Cleaning Services, see what he did there? Hank started his business in 2011, just 4 short years ago, and has been able to grow to an annual revenue of $200,000 a year. If you want to reach out to Hank and get a hold of him and his team, you can get him at www.gcs-global-cleaning-services.com. gcs-global-cleaning-services.com. Hank, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Clean Nations. How are you guys doing today?
They can't respond, but I'm going to go out way out on a limb and respond for them. And they say, Hank, we are freaking awesome. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for helping us out. Thank you for asking a question. It's going to be awesome. You're the best. I just totally made that up, but I'm speaking for Genius and Air Cleaning Nation. That's what they say. All right, dude, before we get going with all sorts of good coaching, let's talk about you. Where do you live? What do you do? How'd you get in the cleaning business? What interesting things can we know to get to know Hank?
Well, I'm from Chandler, Arizona. I've been in the cleaning business probably for about 8 years. I have a wife and 2 lovely sons and 2 dogs. And we just love out here in Arizona. The weather is terrific, nice and cool and sunny.
Couldn't agree more. Go ahead.
And, you know, I've been in the cleaning business. I got into it by mistake from my father-in-law. He introduced me to it, and I've been in it ever since. And it's definitely been challenging, but it's also been a great career opportunity for me.
That's so funny hearing that, doing the show enough. That I get that more often than you would think. I got into it by accident. Very rarely do people, that was kind of their, that was their intention. So it's cool that a lot of us ended up in the same place the same way. Did you come from an entrepreneurial background? Did you own another business before? Or did you come from kind of the working world and this is your first entree into a business owner?
Well, yes, I've been in the corporate world for quite over 25 years.
Oh, wow.
So I've been in the internship. So I was looking to start my own business and just become an entrepreneur. I'm hoping to start multiple businesses in the future.
Well, congratulations.
My first business, of course. Oh.
When I got to tell you, if you started just if you started in just 2011, this is 2015. Getting to $200,000 a year in 4 years is great. A lot of people don't get to that level ever. So congratulations on that, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Like I said, it's been a long road and challenging, but it can be done if you put your heart and soul into it.
All right, cool. Well, is as important as what you've done so far has been helpful. I'm guessing you didn't get to talk to me and want to be featured on the show to talk about where you've been. You probably are saying, hey, man, how can I get to the next level? So what one thing specifically can I help you with today to get you to that next level?
Well, one of the challenges I'm facing is be able to bid against the large management and franchise companies to the small, like, mom-and-pops companies. The prices out here for the bidding has been so low, it's difficult to make a profit. And that's why I need help with.
Okay, so let me repeat what I thought I heard you say to make sure I'm answering the right question. You're struggling bidding against both people smaller than you. The mom and pops seem to come in too cheap and you can't compete at a profit. And then you also are struggling with the large companies. Are they able to come in cheaper as well?
Yeah, they are bidding just as low. So they're driving the prices down to the point of profit is very minimal.
Okay. Well, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. I mentioned to you before we started the show, kind of in the pre-conversation, that I get that a lot. So that's really, it's a great question. I don't think it's been brought up before, and I'm excited to coach you and Cleaning Nation on that because, again, I really think that's an excellent question. So let me, let's start with, you know what, honestly, I think the price issue, believe it or not, is kind of the same answer, whether it doesn't matter who you're bidding against. If it's kind of the how do I compete on price, there's really the same answer. So I'm going to give you the same strategies, whether you're dealing with companies much smaller than you or companies much larger than you. The one thing I do want to give you is a little bit of a mindset, and then we'll get into tactical. So the mindset piece of it is it's almost always like, and I've been in business long enough, and I've been the big guy on the block that was squishing all my tiny competitors, and I've been the tiny guy on the block trying to grow my business. So I've been kind of on the outside looking in, on the inside looking out. And it's funny, the grass is always greener on the other side is the feel, but I've learned in business, the grass is actually greener where you water it. So I want to encourage you that it's not always as it seems. First of all, it is a competitive landscape. I'm in Phoenix, so I'm pretty familiar with this area, and I would agree it's very competitive. So don't hear me saying like, oh, it's no big deal, you're just making it up. Not the case. Please don't hear that. But it's often not as bad as you think. A lot of times the little guys are like, you know, I've got all this insurance, and then how do I compete with the tiny guys that are just a mom and pop and don't have any employees and don't have insurance and don't have all the expenses that, you know, allow them to kind of come up with these ridiculous prices? Well, I coach the mom and pops, and they look at guys like you and go, how do I compete with that guy? I don't even have any insurance, and I don't have any employees, and I've got to do this all myself, and I can't take any new jobs. So it's funny that, you know, I get to look at all three kind of levels, the small, the medium like you, and then the larger, and all of them look at the others and go, well, how do they do it, right? So I want to encourage you, the mom and pops are looking at you like, man, if I could have insurance and equipment and employees and 4 years of experience and a bunch of references and 25 years in retail, man, could I really crush it. So don't, it's not to say that there's no challenges, but a lot of it's mindset. And then the big guys look at you and are like, oh my gosh, if I was like Hank, where I didn't have three levels of management and 200 employees and an employment attorney on staff and all this overhead and an office and all these expenses, I can't hardly compete with someone like Hank, because the same reason you feel like you can't compete with a smaller guy. So it's not like there's a right or wrong space. Like if you were just at a million to a million and a half, you can crush everybody because that's the space. Each level, that zero to kind of 100 or 200,000, that has challenges. That 200,000, a half a million, that's got challenges. All the way up to 3, 4, 5 million, each of those places have challenges. So absolutely, there's kind of drawbacks to where you're at, Hank, and the assets and resources that you have. And same with you, Cleaner Nation, because there's a lot of you like, well, I'm bigger than Hank and I don't have that problem, or I'm smaller. But each of you have different abilities and assets and liabilities and drawbacks and opportunities that are unique to you, your staff, your size, your market, all that good stuff. Does that help? I mean, again, I promise we're going to get to tactical, but just from a foundation, does that make sense and help a little, Tank, that it's not everyone's kind of got the advantage and you're stuck without?
Yes. I'm sure every level has their issues. That's trying to understand what the process is and what we need to do to go forward.
Perfect. Okay. The good thing is the coaching I'm going to give you will really work at all levels. So if you're the guy that's doing a million and a half going, oh yeah, I don't have that problem, I've got different problems, I promise you this will help. All the speaking I do, I almost always include this concept because it's kind of a fan favorite. So get ready, get in a comfortable spot and get ready to take some notes because this is good stuff. So the first part is how you're attracting your customer. And again, when I'm speaking, I can take 10, 20 minutes just to develop this concept. But I always draw an iceberg on the, I've got a slide or, you know, whatever. I draw an iceberg. And as you know, that you've got the water line and there's a little tiny part sticking out on top and a big, massive underwater part that you can't really see. On top, in the little part of the iceberg, I draw one little C because there's one little customers. And then outside of the iceberg, kind of in the sky, I draw all these bidders because there's just, you know, 100 bidders going for that one little customer. And then below, and everyone goes, yeah, I get that. I'm living that. I know exactly how that feels and it sucks. Below the iceberg, I draw the opposite where it's one little C in the vast, or one little bidder in the vast ocean, but in that big iceberg under the water, there's all these customers. So it's the exact opposite. Instead of being 100 or a dozen bidders looking for that one customer, you're one or two bidders looking for dozens or hundreds of customers. And I explain that almost everybody that I talk to and coach is fishing or seeking their customers above the water, where it's them and a dozen other bidders with that one customer. And the first thing they need to do is move below the water and be where it's just them and they've got hundreds or dozens of customers. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And of course, the obvious question is, well, that's a great idea, dummy, but where? How do I do that? Where are all these magical customers you talk about? And I'll tell you, the answer is that one customer above the water is the guy, gal, owner of a business, property manager, whatever the case may be, that has raised his hand and said, I would like a bid on my cleaning services right now. And everybody swarms around with their bids and I can do it for no money and I'm a bunch of money, but I've got all this, you know, all these different bids coming out with what they should do and how they should do it. And it's a lot of information. It can be confusing and overwhelming. And the decision at that point is very difficult to get them to make and get your voice to be heard because you're trying to scream amongst the other 100 bidders out there. The way that you move below the ocean is you start communicating with all those other people that have not raised their hand yet and said, hey, I'm going to be, I need a bid right now. But you know, statistically, it's proven that they are going to be that person within 12 months. So maybe tomorrow, maybe a month from now, maybe 11 and a half months from now. But within the next year, they will be raising their hand and saying, how can I, I need a bid for my space. So the good thing is you're the only one because, and again, I coach these people, so no disrespect, but your competitors, and maybe you at this point, are lazy. You don't want to talk to those people that aren't looking for a bid right now and are going to be looking in 3, 6, 9 months. So the good thing is when you start communicating with those people, you're the only one that has. So 6 months from now, if you've been communicating properly, oftentimes you're the only one that they'll go to bid. They never make it above the sea level and raise their hand and get other bidders. You've been talking with them and educating them and communicating with them and showing them value for 6 months. They just come in and you're kind of now a consultant and they say, hey, we need the thing done. And we've been getting your emails and your newsletter and, you've called maybe once or twice. So we've got this relationship with you. We'd really like you to just show us how to get this done. Or worst case, we had to get 3 bids because that's of our thing. But can I show you all 3 of these bids and you can coach me up and tell me how to make a decision? That's the kind of conversation you want to be in. And a lot of people short-sightedly say, well, I need business now or that just sounds like too much work. Well, the key is to build a list where you've got, maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people on your list. And when you send out an email to educate them, 1,000 people get that email. When you send out your I call lead magnet, I can't get into all that now, but when you send out all this educational stuff, a newsletter, whatever, you're communicating with 1,000 at a time. So if you figure, only one a month is, maybe everyone only changes once a month. So only 1/12 of your list is going to be at that, I'm looking for a cleaning company right now. Well, shoot, if you've got 1,200 people on your list that you're regularly communicating with, that's 100 people a month that are saying, yeah, I would like to, I want information. So that's the big thing is start communicating early. And the way you do that is with a lead magnet. And again, that's a different topic for a different day. But it's basically finding out what they want and then giving them information on it, educating them on how to buy. So one of my favorite lead magnets for commercial is, 7 things you must know before you hire your next cleaning company. So you're going to coach and educate your customers on, well, make sure that they've got insurance. And here's why. And this isn't the guy that's looking for a bid right now. And you're not trying to sell them anything. You're just giving them value and educating them on here's how to make a decision when looking for a cleaning company, and you educate them on the value. And of course, the education is going to be a lot based on the things that you do. So if you're competing against guys that don't have insurance, don't have name badges, don't have proper ID, they're not uniformed, their equipment's bad, they're putting you at risk because they've got under insurance or no insurance, they're not paying their taxes, all of this liability that the customer is open to, if you start educating them now before they go looking for a bid, when they go looking for a bid, you're not one of the many voices screaming at them, you're the smart guy, the consultant, the guy that's been helping them or the company that's been helping them these last 6 months, and it makes a lot more sense for them just to go to you right off the bat. So first step is understand that the grass is greener where you water it, and you think that they've got it better. They think that you've got it better. Second step is to stop trying to compete with all the other people looking for bids right now, but start the conversation with your ideal customer now before that they're looking to bid. Do that with enough people, and you've got a constant stream of people coming in that just now decided they need bids, and they haven't talked to the rest of the world, so you're the only voice educating them on how to make that decision. Does that make sense so far?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Going ahead of time and talk to the customers, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. And I've got one more. So that if you just do that, that's going to really, that should revolutionize your business. The last thing is, and this is so frustrating with the companies I deal with, is very few of them have a USP, which is a very common business term. It means unique selling proposition. And I'd say 80% of the cleaners that I coach, when I say USP, they immediately go, oh yeah, unique selling proposition. I know all about that. But they don't have one. Just like, you know, if you got an overweight, you know, if you're a doctor and an overweight person comes in and you start explaining the benefits of health and exercise and good diet, and the big guy or gal goes, I know all about that. Well, but have you been doing it? No, I eat terrible and I never move. Well, now there's a problem. It's not the knowing, it's the doing. So the unique selling proposition is what really, really, really separate you from your competition. So one of the examples that I use is a couple are niching, right? So if you say, I only work with car dealerships. Well, shoot, when you go to visit that car dealership and talk with him or her, the owner, the manager, the decision maker, and you say, this is all I do. We know what it's like to be in the car business. We know how important it is for you to keep your service area clean. And we've done the research and know that you can get up to $20 more per hour for service area if it's clean and spotless than if it's dirty. We know that if your cars look like this, you're going to have that. And you just talk to them about specific problems in their industry. If you have that conversation, it's very, very difficult for anyone else to come in, the next guy to come in and go, hey, I'll clean your office. Like, they can't compete with you, right? Because that guy goes, well, what about my detail area? The other guy told me that the cleaner I keep it, the better my guys can perform and the more cars I can get out. And the other guy, your competition is going to look at them like blankly. I have no idea what you're talking about. We take out the trash. So that conversation puts you in a spot that's so different than anybody else. And the problem is a lot of people's unique selling proposition is by default price, which is the worst unique selling proposition because A, it only counts if you're the lowest, right? If your unique selling proposition is price, but you're the second, third, fourth, fifth lowest, it doesn't do you any good because you're not unique and you're not the lowest. And if you are the lowest, you can't make any money. So it is unique and it does value the benefit the customer, but it's a terrible unique selling proposition. So that they usually have adopted no unique selling proposition, or if they have by default, it's a bad unique selling proposition. So that's another thing. If you start selling below the iceberg and you have a unique selling proposition, you communicate that to the right customer, it makes it very, very, very difficult for people that don't have your unique selling proposition to compete. One other example I use just to be silly, and there's actually companies that do this I found since I started giving the example to be silly, was if I said for residential, I only hire good-looking ladies, and they come. They come dressed in, you know, attractive outfits. You know, certainly nothing creepy, but you know, only good-looking ladies, and they come dressed in really cute maid outfits or whatever the case may be. I promise you, the guy or gal or people that are looking for that service, you can't compete with me if that's not what you offer. They're not going to say, "What about the price?" If that's what they want, someone else that's like, "We just hire regular male, female maids, and they just dress in our uniforms, and that's not our thing." That conversation is over. Nobody can compete with me in that niche on price, certainly. I'm the only one that can do it. So that's the kind of, and I'm not saying you need that unique selling proposition, obviously, certainly not in the commercial space, but it's a perfect picture of, is the price even in that conversation, right? If I'm looking for good-looking girls to come clean my house and you just have, you know, smelly old men cleaning my house, the price doesn't matter. Like, that's not what I want. So it just doesn't come up. And if everything was on price, there would be no such thing as Mercedes, Jaguar, Lamborghini. There would be Hyundai and I don't know, whatever, Kia or whatever the cheap ones are, or Yugo. Everyone else would be out of business, but it's not the case. Mercedes is going strong and the good folks at Yugo are out of business. So it's not about price. Different people want different things and you have to niche down. And even Mercedes, they don't sell to everybody. They sell to Mercedes type customers, and Fords sell to Ford type customers. So, all right, I've gone a little bit over, but it was such a good question. I want to make sure I cover it. Before we hit the lightning round and give you an opportunity to give back to Cleaning Nation, any questions I can clear up for you before we move on?
No. It makes a lot of sense what you said. So it's something I need to go forward with. And there's any customers that are not looking and try to get them on board.
Perfect, man. I'm so glad that was useful. All right, let's hit the lightning round. As you probably know, I'm going to give you three quick questions. You're going to give me three great answers and give a ton of value to Cleaning Nation. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Well, the best piece is always treat your customers well. Always give them what they're looking for. And they always come back.
I got to tell you, that's great. Always give your customers what they're looking for. That's, I could talk for an hour on that. That's great, great advice. All right, question number two. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business? Share it so maybe we can save some headache and brain damage for other Cleaning Nation listeners out there.
Probably the worst one is probably unbilling accounts, thinking I can do it in a short amount of time and not really looking at what the work that needs to be done. When I first started out, I was unbilling the accounts.
Great point, and that's a great way to go out of business quick is to win a bunch of losers. And I forget who said it, but I was in a construction business. Somebody said, it's better to lose a winner than win a loser. And it took me a while to think that through, but in the cleaning business, that's so true. It's better to lose a winner than to win a loser. So great advice, Hank. Thanks for sharing. Last question. What's the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today that would most drastically improve their lives and or their business?
That is a good question. Probably making sure that you hire good employees, that they represent you with a good attitude and good service.
Man, that is as much as I love marketing and client attraction, in our business, in the cleaning business, I think if I had to pick one skill, I think a good team, a good community with a good culture, I'll trump that over an awesome marketing client attraction plan. They're both really good, but man, that in this business, having a good team, you can't grow without it. Well said, Hank. Thanks for sharing. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Hank. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Hank's show notes page and discover everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can get Hank's episode. You can get webinars, blogs, all sorts of stuff. Everything you need to really grow a seven-figure cleaning company. You can leave your questions, comments, rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.